Welcome to chapter 117 of Mischievous Tales of a Caucasian Chump. How are we all going, guys? I'm said Caucasian Chump. My name's Luke, if you're new, welcome. This is Memoirs of a White Guy. This is where we talk for about 45 minutes to an hour every week about life. I'm a philosopher. If philosophers liked fairy bread and also didn't read books, then I'm a philosopher. Man, I saw someone's Instagram profile this week that had philosopher in their, like, bio. And I was just like they followed me. I don't know why. Like, I just looked at, there was just some dude followed me and I was like, I thought I recognized his name from my personal life. So I went on his profile and he just had philosopher. And I'm like, dude, you're like 18. You're not a philosopher. Stop it with the Instagram bios, everyone. Oh, I'm an entrepreneur, wanderlust queen, philosopher. Just write fuckhead and get it over with. You know what I mean? People are like, oh yeah, granted. Because if I saw fuckhead in someone's Instagram bio, I'd be like, oh, that person thinks they're a philosopher. Good to know. It's the same thing. All right, just quit. I hate that. So anyway, already off to an angry start. I'm sorry. Let's calm down. Let's tone it back a little bit. Hey, welcome. This week was a banger because something big happened and, hey, I want to talk about it. I think it's the perfect place to start the podcast. How do I say it? Look, I'll preface this with something so amazing happened in my friendship group that I fell off my chair laughing at the time. Now, when you tell a story back like this in hindsight, a little bit of me is like, maybe it's to be there. Maybe not. Maybe it still holds ground. But at the time, this was probably top 6, maybe top 7 hardest times I've laughed in my entire life. The hardest time I ever laughed was in New Zealand, and I don't know, Lewis said something shit, and that made me laugh. I think I fell off the bed one time. But there we go, Lewis and I are in bloody bed together. Alright. Yeah, this week I was out with mates, and okay, I'll just come out and say it, guys, because you guys deserve to hear it. I appreciate you listening, and this is kind of a treat. One of my mates was seeing a girl on Tinder named Brian. I'll say it again. One of my Brian. Her name, not he's not gay, he's straight. Her name was Brian. And he was like, because it was a thing where he kept dancing around it. He was like, oh yeah, I started seeing this new girl. And a few, I was like, oh yeah. And you know, when you're like at the bar and stuff, you're like, oh yeah, like, it's just a question. You don't even want to know the answer, but you just ask more to be polite and more because that's the thing you ask. You just go, oh yeah, what's her name? I don't know why, because you don't care. You don't know her. If he was like Felicity or like, you know what I mean? Stephanie. I'd be like, cool. It doesn't matter what her name is, but he goes, oh, I was like, oh, what's her name? And what you expect from that is him to say the name, you go, oh, that's great, man. Well, that's, you know, it's more just kind of proving, like, does this person really exist? Or are you doing the thing that grade 5 kids used to do? Where you're like, yo, I've got a girlfriend, but she goes to a different school and she doesn't have Facebook. And you're like, ah, cool. You're wanking. You know, you're going home on Tuesday. You're not dating, you know, you're in the cinema by yourself with, you know, putting your hand under your thighs so it goes numb, then jacking yourself off so it feels like someone else is doing it. Alright, we get it. You know, that's, oh, she doesn't have Facebook. Oh, cool, man. What does she have? MySpace? Oh, where'd you meet her? LinkedIn? Alright. I had a mate who did that once in high school, and look, he still insists to this day that the girl was real, but we all know. There's no way. He used to be like, No, this girl, like, at my caravan park. Yeah. We used to, like, hang out. And then one day he told us this story. And this was before we'd all, like, this was before many of us had ever, like, pretty much all our friendship group had never fingered a girl. I would say it was, like, year 9 or, like, something like that. Maybe, like, year 9 or 10. And, you know, none of us really got girls. So he came back one summer with this story where he's like, yeah, I fingered this girl at this caravan park. And we're like, oh yeah, what's her name? And he's like, oh, and that, as soon as he armed, I was like, ah, you're lying, dude. Like, what's her name? He goes, oh, and then he made up some name. I forget. Let's just say Jessica, like, I forget what he said, it was years ago. And they were like, cool, man, what's her name on Facebook? We want to look at her. Because we were either thinking, like, you know, troll or he's trolling. You know what I mean? So like, we need to look at a picture of her or she doesn't exist. And he goes, no, she doesn't have Facebook. Like, she's just, you know, her parents are strict. I'm like, right, her parents are so strict that she doesn't have Facebook, but they let her get finger bashed at a caravan park. Cool, man. Just admit you had a darn good wank this Christmas. That's what we all did. We're in year 9, man. That's all we did. Just tugging. Tugging on Christmas Day. Man, I cummed on my Christmas tree that year. No shame in that. I was 15. And in my Christmas tree, I came back and I was like, guys, I found someone. They're like, what's its name? And I was like, oh, Christmas tree. They're like, well, oh, it doesn't have Facebook. So, that was weird. Yeah, so my mate comes out, we're at night out, and he goes, yeah, I've been seeing this girl. I'm like, that's cool, man. What's her name? Brian. We all lose it. Dude, we died. Lewis was there. Lewis was on the floor. Lewis, you know how Lewis has like a howling laugh? Just like losing it. And by the way, this wasn't like, don't be like, oh, it's Radio Mike, or it's someone, you don't know the person. It's someone from a high school friendship group, right? But Lewis happened to be there. Anyway, so we all start dying, right? Lewis is howling, laughing, hitting the wall. People start turning around. Then I just go, like, scream really loud in the bar, you fucked a girl named Brian. And then all these other people around the bar started laughing. And all of a sudden, my mate was just sitting there, like, nah, well, look, yeah, her name's Brian. But, like, And it was like, dude, what are you doing? Because, mate, look, if you're a girl listening to this and your name's Brian, I'm sorry. But just in my head, I'm sorry, but this is where it goes. Brian falls under the category of a few names where if you saw like a Instagram model or a Victoria's Secret model, so you know what I mean, and they walked out on the catwalk and they were like, it'd just be so confusing. You know what I mean? There's a list of names. Like if you're a girl named Darren, Keith, Kevin, Bob, oh, Bobby is a girl's name, but I don't know, just Rob, you know, if there's a bunch of girls named, like, oh, because imagine if you're at the Victoria's Secret fashion show and they were like, the boys call her Big Dazza, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the stage, Darren, and this 14 out of 10 chick just walks down and goes, blows you a kiss, you just have the most confusing erection of your life. You'd be like, I don't know whether to jack off or call my dad and tell him I love him. You'd be like, this is just, I don't know how I feel right now. I need to talk to someone about it. And it'd just be, imagine if Miranda Kerr's name was Keith Kerr. And you'd be like, Orlando Bloom is you know, had a kid with Keith. You'd be like, what are you doing, Orlando? I thought you were, that's cool if you're back that way. Nah, mate, I'm definitely heterosexual. I just bloody love Keith. You'd be like, right. It'd just be, it's just alarming. So when my mate comes out at a bar and we're all five beers deep and says he saw a girl named Brian, you can't expect in that situation. And I felt bad for him because he kept doing the thing. So I was like, hey man, what's her name? And he goes, oh, nah, it doesn't matter. And I go, well, everyone goes, no, well, okay, well, what's her name? It's not, we're like, we don't care. We're not going to stalk her. We're more just asking to be polite. And he goes, no, don't worry about it. And then a few of us got suspicious and we're like, is he making it up? We're like, well, what's her name, man? Are you making this up? And he goes, no, she has a name. And we're like, well, what is it? And he goes, no, don't worry about it. And we kind of kept persisting for it. And he goes, fine. Her name's Brian. Oh, man. Big B Rad. Oh, that's Brad. Damn it. Oh, whatever. Brian. You can't. Look, so my mate fucked a 40-year-old man named Brian, in my head. You know, I'm sure she was lovely. Showed us a picture of her. She was absolutely gorgeous. But in my head, my mate just fucked some dude with, like, back hair, you know, overalls on. Like, while he was wearing overalls, he had a little cat flap at the back, you know. And that's fine. Good on him. But you can't, I don't know, maybe just if you, I don't know, I feel bad because, look, there's definitely a girl named Brian out there who might be listening. And, hey, your parents fucked up. Not my fault. And you probably know that by now. You know, you've probably been there going like, yeah, my name's Brian. It'd be hard to get a root. If you're a girl, Brian, imagine being like, even if you're a 10 out of 10, you walk up to a guy like, what's your name? Like, Brian. And half the guys were like, that's my dad's name. I can't fuck you. Or everyone has an uncle named Brian. It'd be so hard. Imagine like, oh yeah, give it to me, Brian. Like, I couldn't be into that, you know? Oh, Brian. Imagine, oh, Brian. Oh, man. Oh yeah, I had a three-way last night. Oh yeah, what were their name? Brian and Kevin. It was hot as. Anyway, so that really rocked my week. So hope you guys enjoyed that. If you're a girl with a guy's name, hang in there. You'll meet the one eventually, and hopefully you'll meet a guy who doesn't have a close relative with your fucked bogan name. I'm so glad my parents... What were my parents going to call me if I was a girl? Oh, yeah, I found out. My parents were going to call me Zara if I was a girl. I don't know if I really like that name. I'm kind of glad I'm a Luke. Because I feel like Zara is a bit of a slut. Maybe not. Maybe I'm obviously just stereotyping here. I'm sure there's lovely Zaras out there. But I don't know. If your name starts with Z, it's like you're almost a zebra. You're almost an animal from day one. You come out and you're like... Ugh. You know, I mean, right now, like, I'm white, but if I was almost a zebra, I'd be like, am I black or white? Or it'd be like memoirs of a black or white girl, because I'm a zebra. That's the stupidest joke. Yeah, so that I would have been a Zara if I was a girl. Thank God. Imagine my parents were like, well, if you're lucky you're a boy, because we were going to call you Brian. And I would be like, what, if I was a guy? No, if you were a girl, we were going to call you Brian, mate. So yeah, I was going to be a Zara. What else happened this week? Oh, I saw an owl. That doesn't happen much. Look, if you live in Hogwarts, maybe. But I don't live in Hogwarts. I live in Diamond City. And yeah, there was a rabbit a couple of weeks ago, or was it last week? I forget. You know, I see a lot of wildlife around. Never owls. Never wizarding messenger animals. You know, I was walking on my front porch, and then I just walked up and I went... Because my dad has these plastic owls that he puts in the back garden to freak out birds. Because my dad's the kind of guy who's like, oh, there's probably birds on me garden. And he comes out there and it's hilarious. At like 2 a.m, he'll hear a bird chirping on the veranda or whatever. And dad's the kind of Aussie bloke who comes out there. He walks out there in his underwear and he just... Oi, shoo! You know what I mean? And he shoos away birds. Like, he just starts clapping, making noise. And you're like, oh, there's a bird shitting on his deck again. Right, so Dad went to Bunnings and he bought these two plastic owls. And they just sit there. I don't know if they work or not. He insists they work, but these now out the back, we've got these two plastic owls that Dad just, you know, fights the local birds. Like, that's Dad's big defense mechanism. You know, some people use a scarecrow. Dad goes, if I buy a plastic owl, this is going to show these birds, you know. I'll get the upper hand here. So I walk... on my front garden, right, and I see this owl on top of the front porch. So, the first thing I think, oh, Dad's put his bloody owl out the front. There was probably a crow shitting on our deck or mucking up his roses or something like that. So I was like, and then the owl turned, and I was like, oh, has Dad bought a mechanical owl? Still not thinking that there could be a real owl in Diamond City. Because it's just not something you think. You're like, I don't think I've ever seen an owl before outside of a zoo. Your first thought isn't, that's an owl, a real owl with a pulse and a life and kids. You know what I mean? That's an owl with a mortgage. You don't think it's a real owl. And it looked at me and it blinked and I was like, oh shit, I don't think the mechanical owl would blink at you. That's a real owl. So I slowly get out my phone and I just start taking a photo of it. And then I walked a little bit closer. And then it flew away. So I got a photo from a distance of an owl. Which was, yeah, maybe cool, I guess. And then I showed everyone. And then everyone just judged me the next morning, my family. Because I thought it was so crazy, but no one else did. I got up the next morning and I was like, look, an owl. It's an owl, everyone. And I felt like a crazy person. Because my brother was like, that's not an owl. And I'm like, yeah, it was. And he goes, no, that's a tawny frog mouth. And I was like, yeah, maybe. But I was woken up and I was like, it's an owl! It's an owl! And everyone went, we don't care. Owls are pretty common. Are they? One time I saw a bat and it scared the shit out of me. What do you mean? How have you seen an owl? At first, I thought it was... Because it had yellow eyes. It was looking at me with big yellow eyes. And I've been around owls before. Well, no, look, I haven't... But pop culture-wise, I know Hedwig, alright? I've seen Giggle and Hoot. I'm familiar with the species. So when I saw those big eyes, at first I went, oh, that's my... I knew it was an owl, but at first I thought it was a plastic owl. Then I went, oh, mechanical owl. And then for a little bit of me went, what about if it's Peter Pigeon coming back to give a second interview? But he's just tripping acid and he's on MDMA and his eyes are just popping out right now. And he's also gotten a lot fatter because it was a choke. I mean, owls are thick. Owls are like the rugby players of the bird world. They've got thick ass necks and they can't move their neck unless it's pretty robotic. You know what I mean? They're the footy players of the bird world. I'm sure they're probably scandalous creatures. I'm sure some of them fuck dogs on the weekend. You know, gets in the paper on the Monday. They get fined, but they're still allowed to play footy because it's body footy, mate, and fucking the dog's okay if you're good at ball sports. So owls are pretty staunch animals, which is why I was so surprised to see one on my front porch. And then it flew away very silently. And I went, huh, I have observed that in Harry Potter, when Harry obviously sends Hedwig out on another adventure. So, yeah, that was great, guys. I saw an owl. And look, I honestly didn't think I'd be chatting about, I've chatted about fat birds before on this podcast, drunk birds, probably many types of birds. Never staunch rugby birds. That's a new breed for you. So, yeah, go do your research on staunch rugby birds. Let me know if there's any other bird types that's even more of a rugby player than an owl. I should probably read some dates. I was supposed to say the start, but whatever. This week is the last weekend of the last week of the comedy festival. Tonight's show is the Wednesday. I'm recording this on the Wednesday. Sorry, the podcast is late again, by the way. Better late than never, though. So, yeah, just comedy festival, blah blah blah, and I guess the Wednesday I go, oh shit. Comedy festival, last week to go. Tonight's almost sold out on a Wednesday, which is very confusing. So thank you to everyone. I think it's school holidays now, so it doesn't really matter. People at uni holidays, it's just the time to go. So yeah, Wednesday, if I'm selling out on a Wednesday, I would book ahead for the weekend. If you're going to come, that'd be rad to see you there. I'd love to fill out my last weekend and sell it out. Well, that'd be such a cool way to end it, because it's been the best comedy festival I've ever had, and super stoked with it, guys, so thank you very much. And then, obviously, I go to Brisbane. I go to Sunshine Coast, Brisbane, and Gold Coast in May, and also head to Hobart in late May, which will be awesome. Never been there before in my life, so that'll be sick. Get pumped for Brisbane. The comedy special kind. It's like we're doing like a live taping. We're not sure what it's gonna be yet. All I know is you're gonna get one hell of a show. I'm doing the tambourine tour plus at least another 30-40 minutes of other stuff that I want to get filmed. So strap in, get a ticket, and you're gonna see one of the best shows, probably the best show I've ever done. Unless bloody tonight's awesome, I don't know. I mean, who knows? I mean, I did push-ups on stage last week, and also the week before that, I wormed on stage. So anything can happen in a Luke Kidgel show, guys. All you've got to do is tell me I can't do it, and I will. Nah, the first thing I'll do is definitely wreck the shit out of you. But then, look, these things kind of come around organically. You know, I never mean to worm. Last week I did push-ups, which you might have seen on my Instagram story. The only reason why that came about is some dude at my show was talking about how he was wrestling his mate at a party. And I was like, why are you wrestling your friend at a party? And he goes, oh, you know, I'm a pretty big guy. And I was like, oh yeah, do you go to the gym? Now, what another comedian, a comedian who also goes to the gym, would ask is, how much do you lift or how much do you bench? But I don't know anything about bench presses. When someone goes, how much do you bench? I just go like, do you mean a marble, acrylic? What kind of kitchen bench? I don't even know why it's called a bench press. Is it because the thing you lie on looks like a bench? I don't know. I don't know a lot about the gym, right? If you can't tell, I don't frequent it often. So I just went, oh, how many push-ups can you do? Because that's all I really know. Because I do push-ups. I'm like, I know what is an impressive amount of push-ups. And he brags about it. The dude in the front row, the most confident shit I've ever seen, goes, don't want to brag. But no, he didn't say that. He said it in like a don't want to brag tone. I don't want to get the truth getting away with a good story. He just went, he leant back in his chair and he went, 30. And he shrugged while he said it. He's like, yeah, 30. So, you know, pretty good. And I went, no, it's not. I just laughed. I was like, no, that's shit, dude. And when you say that shit in front of 150 people, there's obviously one person that goes, do it. And look, I'm the kind of person that I talk a lot of shit, but I only talk shit if I can back it up. I think shit talk's one of the best things that our culture has to offer, you know? We have prime ministers doing, like, sculling beers at the cricket. We have cricket players on Weet-Bix boxes. So, and then we also have the Australian tradition of peer pressuring a stranger with two words. Do it. Often it's four words. You wouldn't do it. But in this case, it was just two words. Do it. And I was just like, well, it's an Australian tradition here of talking smack and then having to back it up. And I was like, I'm gonna get my citizenship revoked if I don't do 30 push-ups here. So then I started doing a bit, you know, I started building the tension, you know. I'm a performer, ladies and gentlemen. I'm an entertainer. I wasn't just gonna do 30 push-ups right there and then. You gotta build it. So I kept talking shit, you know. I kept throwing it out there, knowing very confidently in my head, I can do over 60, almost 70 push-ups at the moment, right? I do two sets of 70 a day. Now that's a brag, okay? So I'm on stage and I'm going, 30, that ain't shit. And everyone's like, you couldn't do it. And I'm kind of making it, well, maybe I can't. Knowing full well, I will knock this shit out of the park. And which is very funny in hindsight. But at the time, I just kept going with the guy. And then everyone's like, you couldn't do it. And people were genuinely like, dude, there's no way you can do 30 push-ups. And Lewis had opened for me that night at the show. So I was like, what are you talking about? I was like, fuck, do you think I'm Lewis or something? Because Lewis is very skinny. And he's my mate, by the way. If you know his podcast, and, you know, his name's Lewis Spears, go check out his podcast. It's very funny. He opened my show, and he's at the back, and he just goes, fuck off. And I'm like, how many can you do, Lewis? And he just goes, oh, 32? And I went, fuck it, I'm doing 33. And I got the sound tech to put on Rocky music. It was like, and then everyone started counting out, like, 1, 2, 120 people, just 3, 4, 5. And I'm doing push-up. I just stopped my entire comedy show to literally flex on stage, to get a workout in. And God, it was good. And he's just, 27, 30, 31, 32, 33. Hit it, obviously, because I was very confident. And I thought, fuck it, I'll do a one-arm push-up as number 34. I go down, get about halfway up, and I start to shake. I'm like, uh-oh. I get 3/4 of the way, and I just crumble. And I'm like, ah, shouldn't have gone with the one arm. But you know what? I did 33. I've literally flexed on stage, and yeah, I'm happy about it. So, it was great stuff, guys. So if you were there for that show, hey, you saw the show where I was being a douchebag. That is one of the douchiest things you could possibly do on stage, is just stop your comedy. I've worked on this show for a whole year, yet it was like, I will happily stop this comedy for about a minute and a half to prove you motherfuckers wrong. It was the most elfish shit I've ever done. And this week, oh no, last week, sorry, I also did the second most elfish shit I've done. You might have noticed, I got a haircut. And I said it earlier in the year, I might just grow my hair out until it gets really long, or I might not. It was just an experiment. It got out of hand, right? It was getting a bit silly, a bit ridiculous. So I was like, all right, I'm going to get this cut. And I wasn't really planning on getting it cut. It was just starting to piss me off. I went to the shops one day, my local shopping center. This was last week. and I was trying to get my camera fixed. I couldn't get it fixed, so I went there for no reason. So I was walking out, I was pretty pissed off, and then I wiped the hair out of my face, and I was like, oh, this is getting fucking annoying. I'm gonna get a haircut soon. But we used to usually have like a family friend of ours who cuts our hair. Just like since I was a kid, one of my mum's best friends is a hairdresser, so I've just always got my hair cut with her, right? So, you know, because I'm a loyal man, and, you know, I didn't want to cheat on her, but at the same time, there's a lot of hair on my face, and, you know, I've missed the last three haircuts that, like, she's, you know, my brother's got a couple of haircuts. That's how I realized how long my hair was getting. My brother and my dad, in the time I think I got, have both copped, like, 3.5 haircuts each, you know, they're almost up to their fourth haircut, and I haven't had one. So I was like, this is getting silly, and I just did the most alpha shit. I don't know if you guys have ever done that before, but I happened to be walking past a hairdresser's at the shopping center, and I just went and just walked in. Who does that shit? That's like opening up your phone on Instagram, going in the app, taking a photo of your face, no filter, and just uploading that shit without a caption. That is next level alpha shit. I've never met this hairdresser before. I've never got a recommendation. This could be the worst hairdressers of all time. Alright? And I just went in there and was like, yep, just a men's basic cut, please. Bit off the side, short at the top. Get it done. I showed her a picture of Osha Ginsberg and went, like that, but don't try and do it as good, because I don't deserve it. She went, no worries. And she nailed it, guys. Not as good as Osha's, because I don't deserve it. $25 as well. Pretty reasonably priced. I don't really know what a haircut costs. I think it usually costs me about less, because I get mates' rates. So I don't know what. I think my haircut usually only costs about $15-$20. So, but I was thinking like $25, is that, that's probably still good. I don't know how much haircuts are. But I know for a fact it costs girls about $500 to get a haircut. You know, it's, every time I speak to Meg, she's like, yeah, I had to get at $200 today for a basic, like, girl's cut. She's like, I just got a trim. I'll be honest, I never noticed. One time she got a haircut. She's like, yeah, I got a haircut today. And I was like, why? Your hair, it doesn't look, I don't know. Just, that's not a good move as a boyfriend to be like, really? $200 well spent? Not. But, yes, girls' haircuts are bullshit, man. I feel bad for girls. So, yeah, anyway, that was alpha shit. I just went in and got a haircut, and don't want to brag, but clearly I did, because I brought it up on the podcast. What else do I want to talk about? I want to talk about all my gifts that I got. So, after shows this week, I've been getting heaps of gifts. Now, this first one, I'll explain it very quickly. I'll try and make this part of the podcast quite quick, because, to be honest, I get so much garbage at shows. I appreciate it, so I want to give people the acknowledgement, and they listen to the podcast, so let's quickly do it. Now, the first one to explain is, this is a weird-ass reference. I did a post last week of me holding a dog and a tambourine, right? I was promoting my comedy festival shows, and I did a picture of me holding a dog, and I captioned it, yep, I'm using cute doggo pics to promote my shows now. Oh, what? You thought I was above that? Hell no, it's Instagram. And this is the part we really got to be keen on. I said, you're lucky I don't have my tits out patting a baby teacup pig that's munching on some teeny-weeny bits of apple. God damn, that would be cute. Now, I put this on my story at the time and said, anyone good at Photoshop? Question mark. Kind of as a joke, thinking, there's no way anyone will Photoshop me with my tits out holding a tiny teacup pig while munching on some tiny bits of apple. How I would be wrong. Technically, I was correct, because to call this Photoshop is very generous, but a bloke named Elliot, who's part of the Patreon, and he came to my show, brought this to my show. Now, if you're watching the video, you're already laughing. If you're listening, I'll describe it. It is one of the most fucked Photoshop jobs of my head, with on a cropped picture of a bikini model with about E-cup tits holding a baby teacup pig, and instead of doing tiny bits of apple, it's eating Steve Jobs' head. So, and it says, happy birthday, Jeff. And it says, my name, Jeff, on the neck tattoo of the girl. So, if this isn't the shittest thing you've ever seen, then I don't know what is. But to make things even worse, so not only did he Photoshop this and send me the digital file, he came down to my show from Sydney, because he reckons he missed my Sydney show. I was like, you know, I was in Sydney 3 weeks ago, right? He came down to my Sydney show. No, sorry, came down from Sydney to my Melbourne show, walked 40 minutes to the nearest Office Works just to get this shit printed. Worth it. Worth every cent. So I really appreciate it. Elliot, it's art. And he goes, oh, I've got a confession to make. I didn't actually use Photoshop. And I went, really? You fucking think? Because my head looks like a 4-year-old cut it out with like those shitty plastic scissors in kindergarten. Alright, and he goes, yeah, I used PowerPoint. I don't know you could... What do you mean? I did not know you could do this in PowerPoint. How do you do that in PowerPoint? So that's pretty impressive. That's definitely a good use of Microsoft. Bill Gates would be very proud of you, mate. You can't do that in bloody Excel, but apparently you can do it in PowerPoint. So these are the next gifts I got. That was from Elliot. This one is from, they wrote their names on it. This one is from Holly and Minnie. Thank you very much. They bought me a book that said, Lucas, you're amazing. Because they couldn't find a book that said, Luke, you're amazing. But then went through the book and rubbed out Lucas and just wrote Luke under all of them. And it's just a book, a kid's book. This is how shitty kid's books are. I'll read a bit of it to you. This is how, like, there's some dude making money off this. Who's the author of this? Written by J.D. Green, alright? This is what some guy's job is. He wakes up every day to write this modern Dr. Seuss bullshit. Lucas is amazing. The nicest, smartest guy. He's super cool. And cool kids rule. It's true. I'll tell you why. Lucas is so helpful. He gives this mix a beating. And when the cakes had time to bake, he'll help you out with the eating. Some dude gets fucking paid to just rhyme beating with eating. Are you fucking Dr. Seuss? Like... Dude, if you rap this, if you could put a beat behind this, like, someone, alright, I'll just spit in my head, like, I'll just sing the beat of, like, Lucas is so caring, he's friends with the birds and bees, and bugs and slugs and dogs and frogs, and even cats with fleas. Like, this is just a rap. Lucas is a rock star, each time he hears a song, he sings out loud, but does not care if all the words are wrong. Alright, it doesn't have the best flow, but maybe it's just me. Lucas has a super smile that goes from ear to ear. Just being around Lucas leaves you full of cheer. Alright, I haven't got the flow right. But still, this is just a dog shit kids rap song, and they printed it in a book. But no, I appreciate the gift, girls. It was very lovely. Then this other guy, this is the weirdest thing I've got. Some guys came to my show and goes, oh man, here's an enormous bag with a dinosaur on it that says Rah. He goes, this is just a bag full of $2 shit from Kmart. Enjoy! Like, I would enjoy that. Like, I like that people think I'm that basic that I would want... The people think I'm so basic that I'd want to wear this dinosaur hat just in my spare time. And he's bloody spot on. This is... Alright, this is my fan base, ladies and gentlemen. This is my fan base. In a nutshell. Some titties... And a teacup pig, picture Steve's job, and a fucking red dinosaur hat that I'm currently wearing. This is only good if you're watching the video podcast. If you're not, Jesus Christ. Guys, look, this is... What he should have said was, hey man, here's a bag of $2 fucking landfill. Alright? This is going to end up around a dolphin's neck one day. Alright? And you know what I mean? Some... Like, yeah, I know he's like, oh man, Luke's going to love this gift. Yeah, I do, but... The fucking fish, when I inevitably throw this out, which will probably be about 3 minutes. Nah, I'll probably keep it for a bit. It's pretty good. But when I throw this out, this is just going to, like, suffocate some fish one day. And is it going to be worth it, champ? Probably not. But thanks, man. He bought me a whole bag of shit. I'll go through some of it. Like, he gave me a card with it. That was cute. He bought me finger skateboards, just some fake pimple poppers, a face mask, That's hurtful. All right. I mean, I am aging, clearly. I look 28, so I appreciate that. He bought me window walkers, whatever that is. Just a whole bunch of toys, some sour lollies. And then he bought this weird thing where it's like fake zits that you can squeeze. And you can, that's weird. But, yeah. Thank you, everyone. Everyone each night has been buying me gifts that have been, yeah, that just people just buying me fucking landfill. I love it. So yeah, no, I really appreciate that. You guys are all very kind, you're very thoughtful, and I mean, some of you are more thoughtful than others. Yeah, if I've missed you and you've given me a gift, I'm sorry. I've just there's been a lot, and yeah, it's been so much fun though. So yeah, what I want to talk about next? Oh, before we do the knock, guys, what are we doing with Mount Tambourine? Alright, give me your feedback during the week. If you don't know what I'm talking about, a few months ago it was alerted to me near the start of this tambourine, whole tambourine thing, is that there is a place just outside the Gold Coast in Queensland called Mount Tambourine. Now, I think it would be a crime to do the tambourine tour and at least not visit Mount Tambourine when I'm there next month. But here's what we need to decide. What kind of thing is this going to be? Is this just me going by myself, you know? Do people want to get involved? Do we want to do a live podcast from the top? You know what I mean? Where we hike to the top of Mount Tambourine? Is it even a mountain? I need to do my research a little bit more. Or can you guys just send me facts about Mount Tambourine? That'd be great. I was thinking live podcast, or maybe just I do a podcast from the top of Mount Tambourine. You guys just like tell me what you want. If you're from Brisbane or the Gold Coast and you'd be interested in coming to a live podcast at the top of Mount Tambourine, let me know. I think it's just funny to me that, like, if that is the second live podcast that we do, the first one is me screaming at a bird along the Yarra River, and the second one is just a weird drum circle at the top of Mount Tambourine. I just imagine it. It'll be like 30 of us just all sitting there with our tambourines playing Jet. And it's going to go the fuck off. So, yeah, let me know what you guys want to do with that. I'm totally fine to do whatever. I just need to kind of know soon to work out with flights and accommodation when I go to my shows there, if I'm sticking around for another day and what the plan is there. But, yeah, I was thinking we could do a live podcast at the top of Mount Tambourine. Otherwise, I'll probably just do the hike myself. I feel like my tambourine needs to go there, and maybe a lot of you guys now own tambourines, you'll be bringing them to shows, so, you know, if you wanted to do a tambourine thing, then great. So, yeah, that's it all. Oh, no, and also, vote for Osher for the Logies, all right? Let's start this campaign full. I should do a video promoting Osher at the Logies. That's be so weird, but, yeah. Osher, vote for Osher at the Logies, and I think that's all I wanted to say. Let's do the knock, guys. People have been knocking me up this week. We've got a few good ones. So, alright, we've got six messages on the knock. Let's do the first one. Hey, Luke, just wanted to get some advice. Oh, by the way, if you want to contact the podcast on the knock, you can get the number by joining the Patreon, $3 a month, and you can knock me up. There's also a Patreon-only podcast with Luke and Meg, my girlfriend. We do it fortnightly, and it's been going off lately. I'll put a couple of promo videos up on the Memoirs of a White Guy Instagram. Also, if you haven't followed Memoirs of a White Guy on Instagram yet, get on that shit. We're still trying to hit 1,000 followers, so there's a lot more people listen to this podcast than follow me on Instagram. So follow Memoirs of a White Guy, get around that shit. You see clips from this podcast, you can show your friends if they can't be fucked to watch the whole thing. So yeah, it'll be great. So, yeah, knock me up if you want to join the Patreon. It'd mean a lot. Because I'm getting a new microphone. I've been saying it for a few weeks now, but I still need to work out which arm I need to get. Anyway, this person has knocked me up. It's from Jordan. So, hey, Luke, just wanted to get some advice on where to start in comedy. I've just started to realize it's something I'm interested in and wanted some advice on where in Melbourne is good to start. I'm about an hour out of the city, so anywhere southeast is awesome, but I'm happy to try anywhere out. Thanks, Luke. Have a good one. A question I get a lot, so I'll answer very quickly. Just start. It's like anything, and this isn't just with comedy. If you want to be an artist, if you want to be a photographer, and you're like, oh, I want to be a photographer, start taking fucking photos. It's like if you want to be a comedian, start writing fucking jokes. Then all you got to do is, I think, yeah, a lot of people don't know where to start, particularly with music and comedy. It's like, where people always go, I want to perform, but I don't know where. And it's like, find an open mic night at your local pub and then play your guitar there. You know what I mean? There's, you, don't pretend like you're above that. I do videos to seven people. Thank God more people watch my videos now. But at the start, I did do videos to seven people. But then now, I do gigs still sometimes, like seven people. Man, I don't care. I love it. Like, I did a gig last week before. So I did a sold out show at the Comedy Festival with 200 people last Saturday. And at 5:30 p.m., my mate has a storytelling show. And he's like, oh man, I'd love you to come do some of your bits about, you know, you've got a few good stories in your show. I'd love for you to come do that. And I was like, yeah, man, I'd love to come down. And there was five people there. And it was fucking great. I had a great time. There were lovely five people. I stood at gigs in front of five people. And then 3 hours later, I did a sold out gig to 200. There's no shame. You know what I mean? Or, like, fuck being above that. I don't care. I just like doing jokes. It's just literally just what I love. So, yeah. Just do it, man. Go out to open mics. If you want to find where all the open mics are in Melbourne, join the Facebook group, Melbourne Comedy Rooms Hub. There's also groups in every other state about comedy. So just look up Adelaide Comedy or Sydney Comedy on Facebook, and I'm sure you'll find a hub or a community of people who are willing to help you out. And yeah, just start coming to open mics. And it's pretty much like anything. Don't go to open mics and just sit in the corner, wait for your spot, and then go on stage. Talk to people. You know what I mean? Don't be... You're never going to make it. You're never going to get other spots at other rooms unless you network, unless you communicate with people. Go introduce yourself, say hi. That's what I did. You just meet new people, and that's what life is all about. It's like any industry. You can't rock up to your brand new job at a big corporate firm and just sit at your desk all day with your headphones in and not introduce yourself. You're never going to work your way. Unless you want to really achieve success in whatever you do, you got to be able to shake people's hand and look at them. And yeah, and so it's not only like about being good at comedy. You also got to be personable, and you've got to just be nice to everyone. So that'll be my advice. If you really want to get successful in anything you do, and this is obviously applies to comedy, but it applies to anything, learn how to fucking shake people's hand, look them in the eye, and yeah, learn how to not freak them out with your weird friendship. You know what I mean? Some people are too weird. Some people going too strong. They're like, hi, how are you going? And you're like, oh my God. Like, just ease in. You know what I mean? Just be a normal human about it, and you'll be successful. But, yeah, man, I hope that answers your question. Some great places I can recommend to start. Go to Gorilla in Hawthorne. This is just in Melbourne, so I'll quickly go over this. Gorilla in Hawthorne, Melbourne is an awesome place to start. Go to Apartment in St. Kilda. It's the Apartment Hotel. If you want to perform in front of a bathtub, that one's dope. And, yeah, there's a few good little open mics out there. And hey, I might see you there, man, because I do there sometimes when I'm working on new shit. So, alright, knock number two. Hey mummy, call me Jeffette or Jeff 2. I'm going to call you Jeffette. and by the way, mummy is a thing from the Patreon group. I am the mummy, Meg is the daddy. It's a very long fucking story, but if you want to join the Discord, then yeah, get amongst it. It's some premium trash and you're missing out. I want some advice on how to not be such... has such a lonely bloke, and how to make some new friends. This year, I've had to start online school because my health is shit, and all my friends went off to uni. That sucks. I've only stayed in contact with two of my friends from high school, drama and bullying, he wrote in brackets, but because they're busy with uni and they can't hang out all the time, I'm just stuck at home alone and don't see anyone for days on end. I leave the house every day to make sure I don't go crazy, and I message friends every few days, but I've been feeling more and more lonely lately. I'm up for anything new, to be honest. Alright, Jeffette. That sucks, dude, but, I think that's totally normal. Dude, I went a little bit crazy when I really started throwing myself into comedy, about, like, early, you know, mid-2017, and... But the problem is, the good thing was that I threw myself in an industry where now some of my best friends in the world are comedians. So But there was a bit where I was worried that I'd lose some of my high school friends because I just started immersing myself in this world 24/7 where it's so different to what any of my friends do. Like, you know, a lot of my mates just have a, you know, they just got normal jobs. Some of them are still studying. They, you know what I mean? And what I do is, it's normal, but it's not, you know, I'm traveling a lot. Like, I go away a lot. I feel like I'm, you know, like when they're having parties, I've got gigs on a Saturday night. So it's a world where it's like, I'm always being the guy who's like, yeah, I'll come later. And I come to bars and stuff at 11 PM, but they're already fucking drunk by the time I get there. And it's like, and that's just a, I guess it's just a sacrifice that I had to make. So, yeah, I know where you're coming from in the sense that I've felt lonely before, and but never the fact where I'm seeing no one. I just felt like I was losing people in my life, which you might think you're losing people because you've got a different circumstances to them now. So I understand that. But what I did was really make an effort to hang out with the people that you do still talk to. You know what I mean? Like, really make an effort. Go out of your way. Like, cancel something. Sometimes I canceled gigs just because you don't want to be the bloke. Like, there's a thing in life where it's like, you can have all the success you want in the world, and that's great. I would love to have, I'd love to be doing arenas one day, but I don't want to be the most successful comedian in the world and then have no one to share it with. You know what I mean? You don't want to be the guy at the top who's so lonely that they've lost everyone to get there. That's the last thing. I'd rather be middle of the road than and have a good network of people around me and be happy than be the lonely fuck at the top with no mates. So, yeah, if that's what you... I think you just need to make sacrifices, man. You need to go out of your way. So you said you still got two friends from high school. Say, let's go grab a beer, or let's go to get coffee, or let's go for a walk. Let's... literally anything. Let's go see a movie. Just go out of your way. That's what I do. And also, if you said you want to meet new people, start a new thing. I started comedy, and it's weird. Like, you never think at the time, that could be like, you know, you could meet people who you've never met in your life before. You know what I mean? I never thought that I'd be best friends with... I'm best friends with some people who are 30. You know what I mean? Joseph is one of my best mates. Lewis is one of my best mates. They're people I never knew in high school. And yeah, I feel like just go out there and start something new. Do a cooking class. Do a fucking... whatever you're into. Talk while you're there. Just talk to people. You know, you're not going to meet friends straight away, but if you... if you're around enough, you naturally just end up talking to people. So, yeah. That'd be my advice, man. Start something new, and I've been there before, and it sucks. I would just say, my two bits of advice, if anyone's feeling like this, would be, I've been there. Go out of your way to make it work with your existing friends. Make them still feel valued. Because I think a lot of my friends went, oh, Luke's bloody on the radio, blah blah blah. Like, he probably doesn't want to hang out with us anymore. I don't know if that's what I felt that. I don't. That's probably not what they did. They were probably like, "Oh, Luke's busy. We'll see him another time." But I was like, "Nah, fuck it. I'm gonna make a real effort here to see." And most of my high school mates are still my best mates in the world because we hang out all the time and we all make an effort to see each other. Like, we've got a pretty tight friendship group that works because we all put in effort. We'll all cancel shit to hang out with the bloody boys. So, yeah, and that's something I'm glad about, and that's something that was slipping for a bit. There was about a year in my life where friends started to slip out of my life, but then in the last year I've started to get that back, which is great. So I would say definitely just hit up people who you knew from high school, who you got along with, make an effort, and also try something new, man, and you'll meet people who have similar interests with you, and that's the coolest shit in the world. And you'll get a vibe going. This next knock is from Liam. Hey Luke, Liam here. Just wanted to say love the show and hope you enjoyed the LNP. Cheers, man. Also, thanks for the shout out on Lewis's podcast. Cracked me up. Oh yeah, I did Lewis Spears's podcast last week, Spearhead Sunday. So if you haven't listened to that, go check it out. It was a funny episode. After seeing you and a few others perform over the years, it's made me want to give it a go. Look at me. Bloody hell, everyone wants to be a bloody comedian. Look at all these white boys wanting to do comedy. It's almost like exactly me 4 years ago. I really want to do something each year that pushes me outside my comfort zone, and public speaking, I guess, is pretty daunting. So, this is cool, man. I was wondering how you deal with it when you were starting out, and any tips in general. Also, I think the creative process It all is amazing, and I have a lot of respect for people like comics and songwriters and stuff. Anyway, cheers. And also, just wondering if you're going to be doing any gigs in Melbourne or spots at the Comics Lounge in late June, early July. I'll let you know at the time, man. I don't know. I'll hit you up in the Patreon group if I am. I probably, but I just haven't booked them because it's 3 months away. Man, so you want to know how to... The dauntingness of getting on stage. Again, I've spoken about this before, so I don't want to go over old ground, but I used to suck at public speaking in high school. Suck at it. I used to hate doing speeches, and people go, oh, I'm shit at public speaking. Doesn't mean you'll be bad at comedy, because it's not the same thing. I hate it when people compare it. You have people after shows be like, they try to give you advice, and you're like, have you done comedy before? And they go, no, but I've do public speaking at work. You're like, oh, so shut the fuck up. Because it's not the same thing, right? It's the dauntingness, and the thing to overcome is, you're getting up on stage, and everyone in the audience is thinking, well, this guy thinks they're somewhat funny, or they wouldn't be here at this comedy night. So you've got to back up already that. There's already, like, at work, if you give a speech at work, this is the finances of 2019. Here's a 40-point power, like, whatever. Here's a slideshow that will make you sleep 3 times per hour. And if you're not coked up or on Valium right now, you will definitely leave early today. And that's what business fucking slideshows are. That's not the same thing. You have to get up on stage and make people who have paid to see you on their night off, they've got a babysitter, they've parked the car, they've had an argument on the way there, they've planned their entire fucking week around your hour. And if you don't fucking bring it, that's the daunting part. If you don't fucking bring it, then you're shit. You know what I mean? And that's what you work so hard for every year. That's why I go out, do open mics to 7 people, because I want to be the best. So yeah, the way to get over that dauntingness of it is hustle, practice, get undeniably good. That's what I did. I mean, I'm just at this point right now. Like, I get a lot of shit. You know, we all do. All the online guys, we get a lot of shit, even from other comedians. You know, like from, and I'm, you know, I'm not going to say their names, whatever, but, you know, oh, they're on the internet, blah, 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 that's the only reason why they sell tickets. It's like, it is the only reason why we sell tickets. And it's because, and it's also because I'm fucking undeniably good at comedy at this point. I've put up clips that have, stand-up clips that have got over, millions of views on the internet of people who don't know who the fuck I am. They're like, this guy's funny. Just become undeniably good at anything you ever do, and people can't talk shit anymore. No one talks shit about me anymore, because I just got, like, and it was daunting at the time. I used to get shit even, I used to feel like, even in my own shows, I had to add something to prove. And now, man, everyone this year has come to a show, has just been like, Luke, this was the best I've seen you, because I've never seen you with that much fucking confidence. Like, everyone's after the show, I don't even know what's changed. I can't even see it myself, but everyone says to me after the shows, something changed this year, and you know what? You know what I think changed? I have nothing to prove anymore. So my advice, man, would be, A, give it a fucking go, because it's a cool thing to start doing. Just go to open mics, dude, and it's like the guy who asked before, guests get undeniably good, and this applies, I know I talk about comedy a lot, but if you want to be the best bloody accountant in Australia, get undeniably quick. You know what I mean? Just do in whatever you do. I think it's like the best way to do something. If you're really passionate about something, work so hard. Like, and I'm not the best, by the way. I'm saying I'm undeniably the best. I'm just like undeniably a really good stand-up comedian now, because I work really hard at it, and every year I churn out a fucking banger hour. So yeah, that would be my advice, man. Is like you said, where do I start and how do you overcome it? I think I always had in my head, even when I was tanking, and I still tank all the time, even when you're trying new shit and you're bombing, the little thing in my head is like, yeah, this will be a good joke one day, and just keep doing it over and over and over again until you get it right, and that's how you overcome it. It's bullshit, man. It's a shitty process, but that's the only way to overcome it, and that's the way to get good at anything. It's just fucking do it. I feel like a Nike ad. Just do it. I'm like Shia LaBeouf right now. I went to the show, this is another one, I went to the show where you wormed last week. You worm like someone whose name is Jeff. I do. What is your response when people find out you're a comedian and ask you to say something funny, like tell me a joke? I say, tell me a joke, your future, shut the fuck up. No. I don't know, I just say, no. It's so rude. People do it, oh, tell me a joke. Nah, pay for it. I send them the ticket link to my fucking show. That's what I do. They're like, oh, tell me a joke. And I'm like, man, I'll tell you heaps. LukeKidgell.com, check it out. Join the gig list. Fuck it. I'm not doing it for free. So no, I just don't. Like that when that's what you don't do. It's like if you're a singer and you're like, sing me a song. You'd be like, no, I don't want to do that. You can't go up to Ed Sheeran and be like, do me a song, bro. Sing Thinking Out Loud now. And he's not going to be like, honey, now I'm loving you. Enter when I say with it. No, he's going to be like, get fucked. Come to my fucking show and Ed Sheeran will do a fucking hour of songs and you pay $100 for it because that's how fucking good he is. And he's worked hard at being worth that much. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I just say no. Just be an asshole to people. That's what I do. alright, those are the people who knocked me out this week. Thanks very, very much. Keep knocking me out throughout the week, guys. And yeah, this podcast has been a good one. I hope you guys have liked it. Remember, if you fucked a girl named Brian, just don't tell the boys. That would be my advice. And if you can take anything away from this week, is that owls exist, so do girls named Brian. And yeah, get undeniably good at what you do in life. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of the podcast. Make sure you come to the Tambourine Tour before it ends. Melbourne, you've got 5 more shows. So if you listen to the podcast this week, I finish on Sunday. Get down. It's going to be amazing. Some of the shows should hopefully sell out. And yeah, I'd love it if you came down and made that happen. And let's finish it off with a bang. Then I go to Sunshine Coast, Brisbane, Gold Coast. We're doing the live taping in Brisbane. It's going to be insane. Heaps of you went and bought tickets this week, which is dope. We've still got a lot to sell though, so yeah, keep getting them. Let's try and fill this room and let's make it a freaking banger. And what else? I'm going to Hobart as well in the later next month, so get on that shit. Alright guys, have a good one. See you later.